Hello, welcome to Charity Chat. This episode is being co-hosted by me, Samuel Davies, and my longtime colleague and friend, Rachel Conroy. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you today?
Yeah, good. It's lovely, sunny wind today, isn't it, today? It gets the spirits up versus
it is.
The dark and grey.
The beginning of the new year. It seems like exactly. A good time to look back over the last 12 months of the show and pick out some of our highlights, what we've learned and how this has helped us in our own work. Well, I certainly say it helps me listening to the experts that we have on the show. And also for our listeners, hopefully our listeners, you dear listener, get a lot out of listening to the show, and always consider telling us on social media or through our website how it's helped you, hopefully not hindered you. So we've spoken a lot about the power of video over the last year, including animation with Gavin Strange and guest host Nadia Mason, and also episodes with Emma Brace Girdle and Aaron Murch. And personally, as a habitual consumer of social media content myself, I think there's a big opportunity for charities to grow their profiles of their work on video streaming sites and to engage with new and existing audiences. When I think about the causes that mean the most to me, I'm looking at moving images, and it's the closest we can get really to being with the people that we're supporting. And I think for charities, it strikes me as a really good medium to build very close and quick relationships with new supporters too. What does that mean to you, Rachel? Are you involved in charity video in your work?
Yes, I am. And very much so from a partner perspective in my day-to-day, we provide a lot of advice on kind of how the partners can show up our cause areas through their content as well. But I agree with what you're saying, and it's not any surprise, is it, here that the younger generation consume a lot of their media through video and images. And as a sector, I think there's a big kind of push, isn't there, to how can we get that younger generation of donors in the door and as kind of givers for life, as we know that, you know, there's a lot of older donors who've given very generously throughout their whole lives, but what's that next step? So I think as well, that's really important for charities who are looking to build their donor base, but also just build their support base with the younger generation as well.
Absolutely. And I think in a lot of those episodes, there's lots of component parts of those videos to consider for charities as well, including how they can and should involve the beneficiaries, for want of a better term, of their work, how they should involve them in the actual creation and starring roles in those videos too. So there's a lot there. But
Definitely.
Yeah, interesting. And what about you, Rachel? What's resonated with you over the past year?
I think for me, my chat in episode 256 with Lana Mewitt-Mayer was one of the conversations that sparked the most introspection for me. It made me think a lot about my own potential unconscious bias and how I interact with everyone I encounter at work. I like to think of myself as quite an empathetic colleague and a manager, but I probably am guilty of living in an echo chamber with the views of the people who, people who are very similar to me. And I think, you know, it's no secret that kind of in the wider sector, there's a conversation about this, particularly in fundraising and kind of the kind of homogenous nature of a lot of fundraising teams. So it made me think a lot about that and how I interact with, you know, people outside of that kind of echo chamber potentially. So it's hard to kind of make any immediate changes to your direct team. I have a very competent and amazing team who I wouldn't change. But I think for me, I've made a conscious effort to kind of either listen to podcasts or read books from authors from backgrounds that are quite different to my own and that I potentially hadn't considered in engaging with before, to try and challenge some of those unconscious biases that may be within me. And I do believe, and I think you're the same opinion on this, Sam, based on our conversations, in that, you know, the majority of us are in the sector with genuine intentions to be a force for good. But it made me think, like, are we always holding these up? Is there more we could be doing as well with our own unconscious biases? I don't know if you had any thoughts on that either, Sam.
Oh, no, absolutely. No, I agree. And I think that it can be hard for us to recognize when our behavior is creating cultures counter to our ideals of inclusion and diversity. And it's not easy to change the norm and to find the time and the space in our busy work lives to take a step back and see things from the point of view of people with a different perspective, as you say. But I think we are all in the business of seeking that better world and treating people kindly and treating people hopefully as we would like to be treated ourselves, or that, you know, we would like our loved ones to be treated. And you know, a kind of sense of safety is very important, I think, you know, within our immediate teams, but also in the work that we're seeking to achieve more generally, and also with trusts, with funders as well, with supporters, you know, that part of our engagement with them, we need to think about things like that too, don't we? That, you know, that people feel safe, people feel understood. I think it's crucial. Whilst we are dedicated to our work and the end result of our work and helping beneficiaries of our charities, we do need to think constantly about the sometimes the trade-off of that, you know, kind of pushing our colleagues to work harder for our beneficiaries. There's a trade-off there, isn't there? And there's a risk of people being burnt out, of impact on well-being, mental health within our own teams and on ourselves. And we have to constantly balance those needs. And I think one of the episodes from last year that brought this home was episode 260, how LGBT plus people really feel about giving to charities, with Joe Nicholson. And, you know, I find one of the things I really enjoy about the podcast, being involved in it, is that we're exposed to those perspectives, perhaps different perspectives than we would have had before we listened.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. And I think, you know, that was quite a theme in a number of our episodes this year as well, not just thinking about, you know, beneficiaries and donors, but also thinking about, you know, colleagues and us as a sector as well. And I think my conversation on salaries in the charity sector, which was in episode 266 with Phil Kerry, highlighted that with kind of the uncontrollable external societal and economic factors that are impacting, you know, everyone, but it is impacting the lives of those working in the charity sector, there's a space for us as kind of individuals to champion and campaign for each other as well. And whilst understanding that, you know, something like a shift in, you know, baseline salaries would need to have a systemic change in both public opinions and also funder attitudes for kind of any improvement, I think we also need to not be afraid as a sector to push these conversations as well for the benefit of each other, and not just looking like it's kind of an individualistic greedy kind of assumption that's coming there. And I think there is a fear amongst charity leaders of becoming a sensationalist headline. You know, but at the end of the day, really, the best way to show your staff that you do truly care about their welfare and well-being is to provide them with a salary that's fair and reflective of the pressures within the job they do. So, yeah, again, that's not one that's going to change overnight, is it? But I think it's important for you know, people to feel that they can have those conversations and you know, make those comments without fear of retribution in any way either.
And I think, you know, that really that resonated with me. And what you said about the perception. I mean, there are a lot of perceptions outside of the charity sector and of fundraising, you know, different perspectives, and certainly mine is that, you know, fundraising, for example, I feel is definitely a profession, and that needs a bit more focus on that, you know, that it's not something that anyone can do. There's training, there's effort, that there's skill in becoming fundraiser. I would say that because I'm a fundraiser, but also on civil society and on charities. And in one of the episodes we spoke about, in episode 240 of the podcast, We spoke with a friend of the show, I think we could say, because Andrew Perkis OB has done a few episodes with us. We talked about the future of the civil society report, and this touched on wider issues of defining what civil society is, the impact it makes on our wider society, and how well known this is made to those in it. And I think this is really important for us. And I think, you know, the podcast does fluctuate between going very, very detail orientated and focusing an episode on a particular element of a particular thing that we do in the charity sector, and going broad. And this was a much broader topic, but really useful, I think, that it's important that we consider, given the shortfalls of funding, both statutory and voluntary, and the negative impact that this is having on all of us in the sector, now and also into the future. One thing that I hope this podcast is doing, perhaps in a small way, is helping all of us to understand that our individual actions have the potential to create meaningful, positive change, and that this should be our daily mission. And we need to hold the broader topics that we cover as waymarkers for the future, but also the smaller actions can be our daily practice, which ultimately helps us to move there. And there's a lot of stuff over the last year, over the last few years, that I take little nuggets that I try and use in my daily work to try and help move things along.
Yeah, I agree. And I think your comment there about, you know, professionalism, I think that's something that I've been thinking about myself in the last few years. And it had me reflecting on an episode I did where I sat down with Dr. Beth Breeze from the University of Kent, all around increasing the capacity and confidence of fundraisers. And, you know, she spoke a lot about kind of a shortage of confident and skilled fundraisers, which obviously can indirectly lead to further gaps in income when they don't feel fully supported in your roles. So yeah, because there is a, you know, broader climate of shortfalls and everyone kind of going after the same pots as well. And on a practical level, I think the sector needs leaders that are willing to invest in, whether that's through development budgets for formal training, if they have that money, but also just to kind of boost morale, as you said, by respecting everyone, but really respecting the fundraising team. And I think, like, in this uncertain climate, we're not setting unrealistic expectations or targets that may put a lot of pressure on those individuals as well in those roles. Well, I think that's it for us on this lovely, sunny start to the new year, isn't it, Sam? So thank you to our listeners for spending time with us. We hope you've enjoyed the past year of Charity Chat episodes. We are continuing to produce episodes, but if you didn't see our post on LinkedIn recently, we have moved to a monthly podcast for the time being. If you or anyone you would know would like to contribute to the show, including helping us as an interviewer and producer, please do get in touch with us through our lovely website designed by Magda Askmit. That's charitychat.org.uk. Yeah, so that's it from me, I think, for today.
And thanks, Rach. And I hope, dear listener, you'll join us for another year of Charity Chats. And thank you also to our other corporate sponsors for continuing to support us. That's Giant Squid Audio Lab for sponsoring our podcast kit, and Forest of Fools for playing throughout the show and for playing us out now. Speak to you soon, dear listener. Cheerio. Bye-bye. Joey.